Hey, all you cats and kittens, Adam Ray here, host of the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for subscribing. I appreciate it. YouTube, subscribe to the ALN podcast page. Do it on Spotify and iTunes and hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at ALN Podcast to be up to date with all the upcoming episodes, clips. We got Gene Smart from Hacks coming up, Rick Glassman from Take Your Shoes Off, Adam Devine from Everything. Make sure you're up to date with all of that fun. Speaking of fun, I'm on tour July 7th through the 10th at the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana in Las Vegas, baby. Coming back to Vegas July 7th through the 10th. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. July 20th through the 22nd, I'm on the road with Sal Volcano from Impractical Jokers in Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver. July 20th through the 22nd, tickets at SalVolcanoComedy.com. And then July 29th, 30th, and 31st in La Jolla at the San Diego Comedy Store in La Jolla, San Diego, California. Come out and see me, AdamRayComedy.com for tickets. All your merch is at AdamRayComedy.com. My specials are on my YouTube page, live from San Francisco and live from Madison that just dropped. Go check them out on my YouTube page and support me, Adam Ray Comedy, on Twitter and Instagram. Come out and see me live. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Today's episode is a banger. The host of the Honeydew Podcast, he's a great comic. Go see him on the road. One of the best in the biz. His laugh is like nothing you've ever heard before, and today was a fun one. So enjoy this special episode of the About Last Night Podcast with the man, Ryan Sickler.
Hey, it's Herbert, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
If you can hear this song, then you know that Ryan Sickler's here. Because when you think of fucking 80s pop roller skating DJ tunes, you think of Ryan Sickler.
Fuck yeah. I still roller skate.
Do you really?
I'm about to be 50 in March. I'm out there with my daughter all the time, yeah.
First of all, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You don't even look close to 50.
Get the fuck out at like 60.
No, dude. Maybe the gray, but like there's certain people that start to let the gray settle in and then
they
just
shape
it well.
If I dyed my shit, maybe it would take off a handful of years, but I don't know.
Do you feel 50? I'm turning 40 tomorrow.
Congrats,
yeah,
by the way.
I guess.
I don't. Yes and no. Let me go back. I always say I feel like I'm 25, 27.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in that zone.
Until you do what activity?
But now my back, I got a tear in a disc, so I got to go get a treatment for that. I got fucking trigger finger. I'm going to put this on for you. Oh, okay.
What?
You know what trigger finger is?
No.
It gets stuck, locked, like your trigger finger. Ready? Oh, fuck, dude. Look at that knot, dude. It hurts so goddamn bad. So I got to go get that fucking fixed. So do I feel 50? Sometimes. But my finger doesn't work, you know.
How do you get trigger finger?
It can happen a bunch of. I don't know how I did this. I think if I'm going through my research, I'm a single dad,
yeah,
and I have an ego when it comes to carrying groceries, and I'm only making one motherfucking trip.
My man, I knew we were fucking pals.
I'm only
from the
making
get-go.
One motherfucking trip, even when I was lived by myself before, and I'm hooking
15
them in
bags.
Everything.
You hook them in it.
I think I got
trigger
one.
Fingers in my future. I've gone. Yeah. I've been so stoned leaving Ralph's at 2 a.m. after doing an open mic at the store, and have, for whatever reason, 16 jars of pickles, and I spaced them out in the bag. So I'm just doing fucking bicep curls on the way out. And I remember people would walk by me, scream across the street, "Do you need help?" And you get so just like filled with ego to where you're just like, "A, I gotta make it." It becomes a personal challenge. When you're stoned, it becomes like an extra like stony baloney challenge where you're like, "Oh, you can't carry 15 bags while you're this high?" No, of course I can. So, dude, I've jammed all my fingers from basketball.
It's coming, dude. I always want to carry all my bags up, and I fucking I'm trying to remember what I was just going to tell you. Now you're talking about putting the pickles in there. Oh, I was just telling my friend Jen this. So when I first got a motorcycle in my 20s or whatever, I hadn't been used to having a motorcycle. I've always had a car. Well, my dumbass, I drive to the grocery store and I grocery shop. And then I walk out with like 6 bags. I'm like, fuck, I got a motorcycle, bro. Okay.
So, first of all, love that you had a motorcycle.
Again, I had a little FZ600, a little Yamaha, like just before the FZR, a little dually headlight.
Yeah.
Was never comfortable on it. Didn't really like it.
Couple falls?
No, I never fell. Wait, I'll tell you. So I get the grocery bags on the handlebars. I'm like, fuck this. I'm riding home like this. I got to go about 2 miles, and I'm just doing like 25 with my feet down, you know, off. I'm trying to balance the groceries all the way up.
Oh, my God.
I never wrecked. I did lose the ASM one time. I was lucky enough to write it, but I watched my brother wreck in front of me. It was at the time, it was my girlfriend, me, and my younger brother, and my twin brother is driving a motorcycle in front of me. We're all going to some like cookout or whatever, and he's just riding a motorcycle, and we're following him in the car. And it had rained the night before, and we've got a lot of country roads in Maryland that there aren't shoulders. You know what I mean? Just grass right there, and a bunch of dirt, like loose gravel, had gathered. And he took this turn and just boom and dropped right in front of us, cracked his fucking head. But he had a helmet on, everything. But he had shorts and t-shirt, so he ripped his body all up, and his handlebars turned. Like, he had to ride home. Like this, like 10 miles an hour, all the way home like that. He couldn't come to the picnic.
He couldn't come to the picnic, dude.
But the reason, not only that, the reason, but I've never felt weaker in my life. There's a few moments, but I shouldn't say, but this is one of them, when you're going 75 miles an hour on the fucking beltway.
Yeah.
And you're right here next to that little floating disc on an 18-wheeler. And it says, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm like, oh, no, fuck that.
This is how it's going to end.
I was like, never mind.
With a fucking broken marinara spilled down my chest or whatever you had in that bag. Something important.
My ragu
is all over me, man. At the crime scene, someone's like, did you taste it? I don't know if he's dead or not. Did you taste it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a motorcycle, is that kind of indicative of that era for you? Like 20s, like just throwing darts, like kind of living a little free. This is pre-kid, obviously,
great
right?
Great question, yeah.
Because the motorcycle to me just, like I saw Alonzo Bowden last night and somebody goes, did you ride here? And he goes, fuck yeah. And I'm just like, wow, he's still, and I think he's been doing it for like 30 years maybe.
Now out here, I would never do it.
Yeah, it seems risky.
The splitting the lane thing is insane to me. I mean, look, I still have an M1 on my fucking motorcycle, my driver's license for motorcycle, but I've been guilty of lane change looking as I change. I've been guilty of it. God forbid some fucking, and especially a cop or something's flying across your fucking hood. You know, you're killing somebody. So I don't know. I've never been in a hurry to get somewhere like that. You know what I mean? To split lanes like that. So I would never do it here, but I wouldn't say it was indicative of me. I'm not the, I don't care about going fast. I'm just, you know.
Never have.
I don't care about
you never shit. Like, go to Dave and Buster's and get on, you know, Gran Turismo or the motorcycle. Yeah. Like, you know, some certain kids even that you can
That's
tell.
That's not even a close comparison to being on the freeway next to an 18-wheeler, next to some 9-year-old going, can I go next? Can I go next? That's not scary.
I've been like, as a kid, you know, where you get that.
That's
need,
fun, yeah.
You need you have a need for speed, and like, I feel like it's almost like you can tell the kids that, the daredevil kids that are all about that, the same like the ones that played Duck Hunt that would like, I used to press the gun close to the TV to kill the ducks, and then I had buddies that would literally like peer behind the couch and be like, and I was like, that guy's gonna shoot up something. And so but with the motorcycle world, it's just like, I feel like it's always, you know, either a phase, like
it was my father always told us we couldn't have one as long as we lived under his roof, and then he died and he wasn't under that roof anymore, so we're like, we're gonna get a motorcycle, got a used one. But he had told us horror stories about him, you know, and I think it was a bit of him saying, you can't, he dies, I want to rebel.
Yeah.
And also my brother and a few other friends were getting them too. So I was either riding theirs or on theirs. And I was like, oh, I want to be a part of this. And then as soon as I got out there, I was like, I do not want to be a part of this.
Oh shit.
Nah, I didn't give a fuck. Give me a little bass boat. I'd rather be out on a boat.
That's your vibe.
Watch. A little fucking 10 miles an hour out there. I don't give a shit.
Were those the ducks that were excited?
Duck
or that was
we
the
were duck hunt, bro.
Do you really?
No. That was your callback to your duck.
Yeah, I know, but you also look like a guy that would maybe duck hunt.
I've never said that about anybody. You and I just eating lunch, like, look at this motherfucker over here. Looks like he hunts ducks.
There's guys that feed ducks and there's guys that shoot ducks. You do have a strong ties to Maryland, which I love. I feel like you and I rock our cities pretty hard.
I agree. I'm envious of you throwing out your first pitches. I've been asking the Orioles, listen,
probably.
How in the That's fuck your can Orioles you turn
Cam.
Me down?
That's your Camden Cam.
You're in last place.
Yeah. You need some sort of a boost.
I'm offering. I'll pay for to come home, see That's my family, saying. And fucking throw one out for you, Baltimore.
You know what
Let's
I'm
going to
do? There's got to be some sort of ties between the Seattle first pitch people and another. They got to know, just like in our business, knowing other comics across the coast.
You want to throw out Milwaukee? I know the first pitch guy in Milwaukee.
Yeah, they got to know each other. Maybe they got meetings or sleepaway camps. Yeah, I'm pumped, man.
Yeah, we got an opening on August 31st. Yeah. I can't do that.
Would you want to? There's pressure that comes with the first pitch that I didn't realize until I saw. I think it was 50 Cent throw one, the Mariah Carey, then Fauci's was pretty bad. But
you know me, dude. I'm going from the rubber first of all.
You have to.
And I'm going to go practice before I go do that. Yep. I'm not going to be the egomaniac that thinks I could walk up there after I haven't done this in forever and still throw one all the way over the plate. That's number one. Number two, I kicked a field goal at Nebraska when I was out with Segura on a tour right before COVID hit. Yeah. We were in Nebraska, and they were like, yeah, our fucking kicker's been missing. I go, from where? They're like, right here. And I was like, I can bang that. And they're like, you can't hit that. And I was like, put it up. I put two through the uprights. Listen to me. Cold off the bus. I was 46.
What?
No stretching, no nothing, and put two right through the uprights.
Why are you here? What the fuck?
Because I can't hit them past 35, 40. That's why.
Guys, I am money. If you got need
Inside
a chip
of
shot.
40, yeah. I got y'all. It ain't going to be pretty either. It wasn't like way up here. It was like here.
Barely sneaking over. Yeah.
I don't know about barely.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, that is those types of sports, you know, I guess they're fantasies, dreams. You know, if you are a diehard sports fan like we are and you get into this business, I mean, who's the first person in any, I guess, sport that you got to be? Because now, I mean, dude, I just saw, you know, from you and Tom's tour, like, kicking with Burrow, and fuck, there was
all
there
Tom,
was,
but yeah.
Yeah, but you're a part of the magic,
it's
and
been
there's
fun, yeah.
Yeah. Who was the first in that world that you met because of what we're doing, and you were like, wow, dude, like, there is a mutual respect that I didn't realize from people that don't do what we do?
I would say to really get to know and get close with probably Orlando Brown Jr., who used to be with the Ravens and now he's with the Chiefs. He came to see Tom at a show in Maryland, and then he came backstage, and I'm just a huge fan. And I'm also, like, I'm a football fan, but I really love Baltimore sports, so I know my shit when it comes to Baltimore sports, and I'm standing next to him, and I'm just like, can I say something to you? He's like, yeah. And I go, how fucking amazing is it that you are a Baltimore kid and you grew up on the fucking sidelines of the Baltimore Ravens? You get drafted by the Ravens, the team your father plays with. Your father fucking dies. You play his position. They still have some of his old equipment that they let his son wear.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, that is... Like, outside of Cal, it's you doing that in Baltimore sports. It's insane to do that. And he was like, I know it's it doesn't hit him that same way until you talk about it with him. He's like, I know it's fucking crazy. I'm like, you knew Ozzie Newsome when you were like 9.
Wow.
You know, it's amazing to me. So I would say him special, yeah. And Burrow was really fucking cool. But I'd say Orlando. Yeah.
So that this tour with Tom has been, I remember you posted one thing where you were like, I was just in, I want to say Kansas City or, you know, doing shows and now on a helicopter to go. Like, that's just,
He took us. So if you don't know California.
Talking about Tom Segura, by the way, not Tom Selleck.
Right.
Tom who also Segura. Tours just in
different markets.
Yeah,
and I go out
markets.
With him a lot. I go
and
out
Sickler
with him a lot.
Is splitting time with Tom.
A lot in his helicopter, bro. I was like, you got to put the stash back, bro. You got to put it back.
The cop, I imagine a Tom Selleck helicopter has a big stash on the front. Like that's the bumper almost.
Yeah.
Or maybe the wings
just
are stashes.
Selleck on the side. There's only one Selleck, bro.
That's what he says when anyone hops aboard. They go, and when you're meeting them at the landing, or is it the landing? The airport?
The airport,
yeah. Why did I say landing?
I'm not sure.
So when you meet him.
I don't know. Maybe he wasn't flying with us.
When you're meeting him there, he goes, you go, which one is it? He goes, you'll know.
You'll know, bro.
There's a stash on, there's only one Selleck.
There's only
and
one
it says
Selleck.
That on the outside. All right, so this tour.
So you know, Tom loves to have fun and loves to treat you. You know, it's
loves to treat you. You guys have been homies for what?
We have, 15, but he's 20? Very good and generous to so many people. Like when he did a race car thing in Vegas, and he had his physical therapist and her husband came out and he wow. took care of it and stuff. Wow. I mean, he's great.
Awesome. Loves to share loves, what he's created.
Loves it. Great. Yes. And I mean, but also what fun is it to do all that by yourself? Right.
None.
That's what you want to do with
yes.
your friends. That's why we're here. And, yes. and I say all the time, like comedy is a solo sport. We don't get to see each other unless we're running into each other in fucking airports. You know, I saw Marc Maron flying home on that trip. I just saw Adam Ray coming in. I'm seeing you coming out.
Fucking amazing.
And then we saw my daughter and I were going to Ocean City, Maryland. Annie Letterman had just landed and was going home and came over and said hello. And I'm telling Stella, like, that's how – this
wow.
is where you see comics.
Yeah.
So to be able to hang and,
I know.
And have fun.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, you know, we're doing Riverside, which is a little over 3 hours in traffic. I think it was 3.5
right.
in traffic out of Santa Monica. So he goes, I got us a private helicopter. I'm like, of course you did. So
did he say it casually or is he like
yeah.
pumped? Is he like.
No, Tom keeps it all right here, you know. And I go, we get there and I'm looking at the fucking engines because I'm not getting on anything with one engine. I was like, I'll get in the car right now.
Or one pilot, by the way.
I don't even know if they're allowed to do that. Are they allowed to do that?
I think.
Fuck that.
To one pilot? Oh, yeah. I took a small prop plane from Portland to Seattle once to make a show, and my buddy hooked it up because he worked for the company. He goes, do you want one pilot or two? I go, I can't believe you even fucking asked me that. Yeah,
four,
yeah. How much for a baker's dozen?
I want a crew of pilots and doctors.
I want a fucking plane full of fucking professionals towing another plane that I'll be on, maybe. Yeah, dude.
So it's smaller than I think.
Oh, God.
I would say this little foursome that we're sitting in here
get
is probably tighter. It's probably a little tighter. Knee to knee. You would touch knee to knee. And I'm like, whew. But it's one of those things like this is terrifyingly awesome. You know what I mean? And we take off. And you feel it. They tell you, you know, those Santa Ana winds out there, man. It used to blow my car around on the ground with a full tank of gas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're going to feel it a little bit on the way down. Like, I hate when pilots say that shit, you know?
Yeah, don't give me a heads up. Just when it happens, let me know it's all good.
This is what's going on.
Yeah.
How long is it going to last? That's what I want to know. 20. I'm like, putting you on. I'm going to run my set in my head. I know where 20 is. We're at 18, guys. We got the light.
I just
wrap this turbulence up, motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
But we got there. 3.5 hour ride. We got there in 25 fucking minutes. I mean, there was nothing like it.
How fast does a helicopter go?
I don't know, but it hauled ass. And we flew right over that traffic. You're looking down at, like, look at that shit.
Was it comfy or were you nervous?
I was nervous, but it was still nice. It's just different turbulence. It drops. You know what I mean? It's not the steady. It's more of the, you know, you're moving like this. And
oh, God,
like,
dude. Kind of like swaying a little bit, almost like a boat on the sea.
Yeah. Like, it's everything in me not to say, put it down. Just take it down, guys.
Yeah.
Take it down.
Dude, we've all been in those moments where you're just like, fuck it, I got it. Like, I've definitely been on planes where I'm like, I am one more bump away from just hitting the call button, storming the cockpit, and be like, fellas, I've had enough.
Yeah. I say all the time, I had to go. I used to love to fly. Loved shooting down that runway and getting up in the air. Felt like a fucking rock star. And then my daughter almost got hit by a car. It caused crazy anxiety and two things, fear of heights and fear of flying all of a sudden just pop up. I talk about, like, you think that for years you don't have anxiety, but it's not that it's not. It's just laying down there in a hammock waiting for you to call, you know, get their number
just
called.
Just wake it up.
That's it. Like, I'm up, and then you're up. And I got scared to death of flying. I'm like, I have to beat this. I have to. I have to fucking fly to live and work. I have to beat this. So I did. I can sleep on flights and everything now. But for a minute there, it was like, but you have to rationalize. Like, I know I can't get up and walk in a cockpit and be like, guys, move the fuck over and then fly it myself.
Yeah, I know.
I can do that with a car.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can do that with other things.
Yeah.
But you're at the mercy of that motherfucking person that day.
Do you ever make
night.
Small talk with the pilots?
Not usually.
I got a problem with doing that.
They got a foot up or some bullshit. I'll be like, how you doing? That's it.
How you doing is normal.
That's it. I'm not small talking. You get the fuck in there and get focused on those gadgets.
No shit. I always look in and I see them hitting buttons. Part of me feels like they're just doing that because they know you're looking in. So they want to make you feel like that. They're like, we got it, man.
Yeah.
You saw me hitting these buttons. But also, when I get a little too high and I peer in, I always, like, I said one, I go, what'd I say? I go, I go, don't crash us today, fellas. All right.
You really said that?
I go, and then I go, we got plenty of Diet Sprite. I go, I got cottonmouth. I was so baked. One of them laughs. And then I walk back to my seat, and my buddy was like, why you talk to the cockpit? And I was like, yeah, you're right. I was like, the door being open doesn't
Let
mean.
Let me go up there and apologize. guys, I'm sorry, man.
I feel like I got off to a rocky start with y'all. And you know what?
When we're cruising altitude, I'm going to come back up. Check it on you.
As soon
guys.
As that seatbelt sign goes off. Yeah, the cockpit door open isn't them saying, hey, come on in and make it weird for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
But I like to fly high.
Speaking of making it weird for a minute, I've told this a million times, but there was one time I fell asleep on a plane. I'm going east. It's, you know, 5.5 hour flight or whatever, and I don't know I'm asleep, but I see our plane start to go down, and I'm talking about my point of view. We are tilted nose down.
You're in a dream?
I don't know it, and we're spiraling, and I just go, oh! And I wake up, and the whole fucking plane is staring at me, and I'm just like, no. And I have a hoodie on. I pull it all the way up. I look at my watch. We're an hour in. I'm like,
oh, God.
And I just lean against the window and cover myself.
Yeah, you can't even get up to
leave. I didn't even get up.
Because everyone's going to be like, there's that
guy. I don't want drinks.
Yeah, you can't ask for anything on that flight except for acceptance.
I screamed out loud. Like, we're going down scream.
Fuck,
you know,
dude.
I gave it everything I had. And that woke me and apparently a bunch of other people up around me.
At least you were in the window. Being in the middle and having a freak out.
Yeah, that would be worse.
Yeah. I've definitely woken myself up from sleeping with just a, like, either it's a rock. Well, I recently had a whole thing on a plane where a guy, you know the TV screen that's on the seat in front of you? I don't know. What's your, give me your impression of tapping the screen. Like, how hard are you going? Yeah, that seems about fine. I think that's what everybody does. Dave, what do you do? Even tap
I'll probably go a little light, and then I get
Dave's
annoyed.
Like, TV's on seats. What are you flying, Delta? Yeah, they got him now, Dave. And so this guy in front of me, I had bumped his seat because somebody was trying to put in their luggage above me and kind of bumped me, so I bumped his seat. So I sit down, and my fiance's like, this guy in front of you just turned around, like, real angrily. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, did you hit a seat, I think? I was like, yeah. The bad guy hit me, and it was just collateral damage. And she was like, oh, okay. So I was like, what a dick.
He gave you the turnaround look?
Yeah, gave you the turnaround. I didn't see it, though. Right. Yep, and I didn't see I didn't see it, though.
It's an aggressive
but
move
just knowing
plane.
That he did it, I'm already, this guy's in the hole. He's on the shit list. I'm just waiting for something else. I can just smell confrontation. So now I start kind of trying to get my, find the game or see, you know, maybe I want to watch, North with Elijah Wood was, like, in the deep cut comedy section. And I start tapping, and that guy, I just see him reading something, and I just see him go, and I was just like, whoop. And so I was like, and I kept tapping. And then he just goes, you want to just stop? You're just doing. Who hits it that hard? And I was just like, and I kind of look, and she's just like, yikes. And now I'm just like, all right, this is almost like a heckler to show. I want to kill it with kindness and try to make it funny. And I lean forward. I go, sir. And I'm just whispering through that little crack. And I go, sir, I realized the traveling these days is getting everybody all in a tizzy. You're stressed. I could feel it on the plane. I heard you did a turnaround stare before I even sat down. I go, there's a lot going on. If you want to fight in the bathroom, just let me know. Manister started hitting me. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? I go, you want to fight in the bathroom? I go, I've never been in one. It's a pretty tight space. I feel like we become better friends at the end of it. And I'm just going this little rant. He's just not looking back. And I was like, I was tapping the normal amount. I go, I don't know what's going on with you or what happened prior to this flight, but maybe fucking order a cocktail, relax. I go, hey, man, like, I already can tell that you're going to recline at a speed that's too fast for me, but I'm going to fucking let it go because that's what you do on a flight. I'm just, like, spitting all this out right in between the seat, and then the flight attendant comes over. And
are you in the air?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, we're in the air. So there's no turning back,
nope.
Which is even weirder. Like,
taking it down.
Yeah. So flight attendant comes over, and I just see this guy start complaining. He's like, he starts doing this, and I can see the flight attendant going, like, oh, really? Like, just has no time for, like, oh, he's tapping your TV too hard. He looks at me, and he was just like, gives me a face like he's on my side. The guy gets up and moves seats, and then he comes back when we're getting our bags at the end of the flight, and my fiance's like, don't say anything. I'm like, it's fine. And he comes back, and he's grabbing his bag, and I just look at him, and I take my headphones off. I go, it's going to be okay.
That's great. That
it's almost like when you wave
nuts.
When someone, like,
in
road
traffic,
rage, they flick
time,
you off.
They're going, like, I'm like, thank you. yeah. I cut people off and thank totally, my dad yeah. used to do that shit all
it's
the best.
Time. Yeah, if you do,
and they would lose, and drives them even crazy. And oh, they're going crazy.
Like, so I just go, you. It's gonna be okay.
And he'll be doing this too. No one wants to hit you, kids. Thank you. No one's gonna hit you, kids. That's what he would do.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hit you.
It makes people irate when you just don't meet them halfway. Yeah. People want that.
Did he say anything to that?
He just goes, "What?" I go, "Hey, it's gonna be all right." I go, "Everything's gonna be fine." And then he just, that made him more angry, and he grabbed his shit and stormed off. And this guy looked like, he looked like he was a roadie for the Chuck E. Cheese band.
Ah, that's a great
And that he just found out that, like, the tour had been canceled.
Yeah.
Post-COVID. Yeah. So it was like, I thought we were getting things back on schedule. And they were like, turns out a lot
Rhode
of
Rhode Island's canceled.
He just got that news before the TV tap.
On the way. He's on the way there.
What do you mean the raccoon's sick? Oh, well, so I'm supposed to get another raccoon drummer, and I'm in the air, Dave. I got some fucking Jewish guy tapping the TV.
Oh, yeah.
Do you love the road?
I love seeing the people and performing for the people.
Your Honeydew fans are diehard, and I feel like come out in.
Man, I'm very lucky to have the fans I have.
Well, you've built it.
Yeah, they're great people. They are. And the other thing, they come out and see other people, and then people come to me like, I had
all the time.
Handful of fans come to see me from the episode or whatever. So I do love the road in the sense that I love stand-up comedy, and I love performing for the people. I also, little flex, I like letting people who've never seen me do stand-up know that I'm not just a podcaster, that I can do a fucking hour, you know, a real hour.
That does happen.
And sell
yeah.
tickets.
Oh yeah,
and
dude.
Sell out some shows.
You've always been a gay. First time I saw you, I feel like I almost feel like I saw you do an hour the first time. I don't know where. I know at the Lyric. Not the Lyric. Where was the old jam?
It was the Lyric, not the Silver Lake Lyric, but the Lyric on La Brea.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever did an hour.
No,
there.
Not there. There was even in a small.
Oh, yeah, the garage.
The unknown theater.
You're right. It was the garage. Yeah.
I swear to God, I feel like I saw a real long set from you there once and was just like, I'm bad.
this guy's fuck up,
fucking
dude.
Crazy.
But it's nice. It's nice that they come out and they go, oh, this guy can do more than one thing.
Isn't it crazy that you've got podcast fans that just know you from that and mm-hmm. love you from that? But and you're like, I'm doing all these shows, but they just don't connect the dots until they see it live, which, by the way, is an entirely different beast.
Completely.
Right?
Completely.
What do you feel like they are kind of, they work in tandem, though? I mean, as far as, do you feel like your stand-up has grown from your podcasting and vice versa?
Oh, no doubt. My stand-up shifted completely once we started podcasting, because all of us would sit there and it's like, are you talking about that on stage? No, you need to. And then people end up taking Jeselnik just hit me up and said, how many people from your podcast end up taking stories and turn them into bits? I'm like, people turn them into closers. I know Rory Scovel did one because he's like, I want to take one of these bits and turn it into a story. I'm like, you should.
Or the one I did with the last one, Honeydew, I did about my stepmom passing. I mean, like, there were three or four stories in there that you were tagging up that were so funny
You know what I laugh about all the time is the one guy that he wanted to play basketball with it. What do you call it?
Basket shots.
Basket shots. And he was a glass blower. We were joking. I'm like, this motherfucker's got a crack windshield, man. You're a glass blower. You got a crack windshield. Well, I think about that one a lot. Really? Man. Yeah,
that was
so hard. It's
man,
so stupid.
That was unbelievable because for people who aren't subscribed to the Honeydew, I mean, break it down. You're
with so highlighting many, the low lights, you know?
Yeah.
With
so many podcasts out there, I just feel like it's really, every time a new one pops up, you're like, well, what is your hook? What's the angle? It can't just be, you know, a chat show. Or maybe it can. I mean, like, there are ones that sustain that with just, you know, the guests and who started the pod, I guess. But, like, when did you decide that was going to kind of be the angle of it is highlighting the low lights?
It's a great question because when we were ending the Craft Feast was something I didn't want to end.
You and Jay Larson.
Yeah. And it came to an end. And that last 5 months of 2018 was crazy because I had to successfully, my goal was to close out a successful podcast, hopefully start a new successful one. And at the same time, I wanted to make sure I got an album out because I didn't want to lose that audience in case we went to zero.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, and I'm like, now I just fucking wasted all this time building an audience that I can't even promote this new album to.
Right.
You know, so I didn't know at first. I bought, a half a dozen or more .coms. I tried a bunch of different names. I Googled shit. It was already taken, you know, all that stuff. And then one night I was sitting in a diner and, you know, that fruit cup comes with your fucking plate. And it was all just like honeydew and red grapes and shit. And, you know, I don't even like red grapes, but I ate everything except for the honeydew.
Red grapes are the bar peanuts of the diner.
I agree.
There's a lot of hands in them. Nobody really wants them.
Nah, but
like, what else you got?
But I don't have, you know, a passion for hating honeydew. I just don't fuck with honeydew.
Yeah.
It's just a watery fruit that's only good, you know, a small window of the year. And I got up, and as I'm leaving, I'm seeing honeydew across all the tables. And I'm like, you know, this is a perfectly good fruit that most people just fucking throw away. And then I was like, oh, my God, that's who I am in life. I feel like I'm a perfectly good person, but my mother's thrown us away. My uncle's thrown us away just again and again and again. And I'm like, huh. So then I started thinking about, like, how I could take that, and I just see Instagram nonstop and SportsCenter nonstop, and I'm just so sick of everyone's highlights. And I was always, and you might appreciate this, I was always a fan when we would go to the ball games of the bloopers.
Loved.
And I looked
at it. I used to rent those VHS of, like, top MLB 101 bloopers.
So fun. And that's what I'm saying. Like, here are these great players that have these moments. All we're ever seeing are the fucking home runs, the great plays, the great. Why don't we talk about what the fuck's really going on behind all this shit?
Love
and
that.
I just said, you know, let's highlight your lowlights instead of your highlights. Who cares about all the great shit you're doing? Let me hear how you got there. What did you overcome? What adversity have you dealt with to get you to where you are and who you are?
And then, fuck, dude, that's an amazing story. It's hot in here, yeah? You all right? Do you want to turn the air on?
You don't have to turn it off, but can I get a napkin?
Yeah. We can turn it on, too, if it's
give me
too
a
hot.
Preacher cloth. You got a preacher rag? Give me a pastor. Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Yeah, good.
Do you want AC on yet?
Let's turn
up your audio.
You can always turn it off and post, like,
now he's telling us.
For real?
Yeah, you can just ask him. Yeah.
To turn off the AC and post?
Yeah.
How come he never told me that?
He's like, well, I just got to do this.
That's
fine, Eddie. Click this button right here.
Yeah.
So we can get rid of that in post.
Yeah.
Great. Then let's leave it on.
Yeah.
That feels way fucking better. And it's white noise. Do you sleep with white noise?
Fuck yeah.
Me too.
Every night of fans. Even on the road, I'll take I got an app that says it's a fan, but doesn't sound like a fan.
I've had some. It's just a guy going, Sickle, you're the man.
Even my, yeah,
you're the man,
that's
dude.
That's my laugh ringtone.
But, I mean, your laugh is a ringtone, no?
Yeah, I did. I sold it as a ringtone. Well, people kept asking me to do it forever, and I was just like, all right, I'll do it. And it's out there. It exists as a ringtone.
Two best laughs in comedy, Ryan Sickler, Josh Wolf.
Thank you, man.
It's my opinion.
I appreciate that.
I know there's others out there. Honorable mentions.
Burt Kreischer,
I'd throw him in there. Who?
Ricky Gervais.
Great laugh. Wow.
People forget about
great
him,
laughers.
But he's the one that got hated first for it, I feel like.
Ricky did?
Paved the way for idiots like me.
Have you always laughed like that?
Yeah.
In elementary school, do you remember, like, when you would pop off on something, just people would go, it was infectious, you could tell?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people would be like, I don't even know what the fuck you're laughing at, but I'm laughing now. But my stomach, like, when it gets going, dude. The best laughs are the laughs you're not supposed to have. You know, when you're like when we were kids and we were in church and you're not supposed to laugh and you're or you're in school and you got in trouble, but your best friend's right there.
Speaking my language.
And all you can do is out of the peripherals see that just a little tremble, that person trying to hold it in. And nothing makes me laugh harder than watching you suffer trying to hold it in. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I'm getting them. And then as a comic, too, you know. And you do great crowd work. I watch your shit. You know when you got somebody on the fucking ropes and you're like, I want to kill you.
Yeah.
You don't want to fucking take your foot off the gas.
No
like,
way.
No, I'm going to give this motherfucker a heart attack right
dude.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's
nothing like that.
Wait, so, okay, we were talking about.
The highlight and the low light.
Yes.
And
so you have to.
And when did I know?
first of all, that story is incredible. And I think what's brilliant about it is that you to embark on a conversation where you're really having people get vulnerable with, I mean, dude, I just watched some clips with Sal Vulcano.
Man.
Incredible, dude. I mean, it's and then the Swartzen ones, even Harland got real deep like I haven't seen before, which I love. And it's like people now know that they're coming to your show for that. But and what I'm building to is that you have to just trust that you are, you know, enough and funny enough to not have it be dark and morose and just to where it gets so heavy to where it's not a comedy podcast.
Listen,
and you're brilliant at that.
Thank you.
The best, I would say, because you listen and you don't interrupt like I'm doing right now. But you just
continue.
You fill the plate. And then you take bites off it. There's a better analogy. But you just make people feel good and comfortable to share everything. But then you also, like with Sal in that clip, he got real serious. And then I think he just stopped and goes, This can't be entertaining. Yeah. And you start dying. And then you both went on a little riff. And that moment, I feel like probably in the full episode, opened. I don't know where it was in it, but it feel those types of moments open it up to, okay, cool. We can get jokey and we can still have fun and I don't have to like tell a sad story and be sad about it.
Yeah. I thank you very much.
Yeah. It's brilliant, dude.
I appreciate it. And it's made me fall in love with comedians all over again, because there's no one like us who can sit there and tell you a dark, twisted, sordid fucking tale and then drop some of the funniest shit you've ever fucking heard.
Nobody does.
I talk to my cousins and stuff. I'm like, they're just crying the whole time.
Yeah,
like,
just sad.
Something
Where's
here?
The punchline?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where is it? You know?
Yeah, people that aren't comics just tell sad stories.
Mostly. And then you get those people, like I do my Patreon, The Honey Do With Y'all, where those people can tell a fucking story. And you can tell because they're very detailed about their trauma. So you've either been in therapy a bunch and talked about this, or you've told this story a bunch and talked about this. So
yeah, so there's, okay, so subscribe to The Honey Do on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Pods, and then Honey Do With Y'all is Patreon, which is at...
It's $5 a month only. There's no other tiers.
It's fucking
and if
nothing.
You sign up for a year, you get over a month free. It's called The Honey Do With Y'all, and I highlight the lowlights with everyday people.
Everyday people that, hey, man.
And they have the craziest fucking story.
I've watched a handful, and it's you just forget that, like, hey, man, everyone's got a story. You're at the airport. I get so goddamn curious when I'm watching anyone. If I get a soundbite of a conversation, or I see a little fight at a fucking Wolfgang Puck, or like there's a kid like getting yelled at a boss at Sbarro, like there's just I'm like, what's
Sbarro,
going on? What is that? And that kid looks like it's really taking a toll. I'm like, dude, what is going on with that? Like, I just get so, and you're basically getting these people and giving them a platform to tell these stories, and it just makes you go like, gives you a deeper appreciation, too, for that, like, hey, man, everyone's got something going
on.
Everyone. Or had something, or is going through it, or is going to go through it.
And that's another thing. I always say it's the stories behind the storytellers, because that is exactly what you're saying. Like, what's really happening in that dude's life right there? And
the guy who flipped out on the fucking plane. Like, I know I joke about the Chuck E. Cheese band,
but
what's
like, really happening
probably,
over there?
Dude, who knows, man? Wife dying, it could have been.
Who knows? Yeah. But you know, I sat and talked to someone and I was like, God damn, you haven't had anything. And then it just hit me like, bro, buckle up for the next 35, motherfucker. Oh, both your parents are still here? You know, no one's died. Your grandparents are still here. Everybody's still here. Oh, good luck in the next 35 years, bro. It's going to be a rough one. You know what I mean? That kind of shit. And I read this quote. I butcher it all the time, I'm sure. But it's something to the effect that they say if all of us stood in a circle and threw our problems in the middle, most likely you're taking your shit back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you could trade with someone and you threw yours in the middle, you're like, well, I think I'm going to take this shit back. And that's a really valuable lesson I've learned is that like it could always be worse. You know, there's sometimes people come on and sit down. I'm like, to myself, I'm like, this is what the fuck you're bitching about, and this is what you're bringing. And other people where I'm like, what am I fucking complaining about?
Wow, okay.
What am I bitching about?
How do you balance that as far as the people where they're coming on and they're like, so get this, man. My ex didn't wish me happy birthday on Facebook. That's Monday.
Those don't air, bro.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's got to be more substantial.
I mean, but we have been through it. Yeah. You just have to be comfortable talking about it.
Have you always been comfy and stop me if I'm asking just, you know, regurgitated questions, but have you always, I think there's people, comics that have from the get-go been, you know, a form of a class clown or was able to chum it up with parents and teachers well, which I feel like is like a weird observation, but like I just tapped into that a few weeks ago where I was like, somebody said, oh, you were always like good with my parents. And it made me just go, I was good with most parents and teachers. Like, not that I talked to them like I was on the same level, like, Mr. Berger, you're going to, you know, hit the happy hour tonight?
Maybe, yeah, yeah.
Look for some puss. You know, I was definitely, you know, getting sent in the hall a lot, but like not afraid. I don't know. Just felt like I could communicate like that. And I don't know if that translates to this, but you strike me as someone that's just been very comfy in your own skin from the get-go.
Yes and no. I mean, okay. Everyone's insecure.
Yes.
I'll say this. The times I've been as comfortable as I could be in my skin, there are the flip times where I've been the absolute most.
Oh, you're a human being? Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Right?
But I was never the class. I wouldn't call myself the class clown. I read this book one time. And it said, it was like a stand-up comedy book. And the first page said, are you the class clown? And I was like, nope. And I flipped the page. And the second page says, or did you always know you were funnier than the class clown? I was like, boom.
Whoa.
I didn't need it. I didn't need whatever that kid needed with their dumb fart or whatever it was. I didn't need that. I had shit going on.
The timing was perfect. The room was quiet. Everyone thought it was the girl with fangs,
yeah,
Jill Warren, who I ate her crackers one day because I was a fat kid, and she started laughing and said my brother farted on those crackers, and I still ate them. That's how fat I was. I just chowed down fart crackers at 2:53 p.m. You're right. There was the fart, and there was the kid that...
My buddy could fart on cue, which it was always an amazing thing. I'll never forget. His name's Matt Schilling. He'll still talk to him. I don't know how the fuck he did it.
I know how. I had a kid named Alan Christou who could do it. He could suck air in through his asshole and fart it out on command. Shout out to Alan Christou.
He's
now a firefighter.
Don't fart on him, bro. Don't fart on him. But he said to Becky Woodford one day, he goes, hey, Becky, can I get a crayon? She goes, no. And he goes, if you don't give me one, I'm going to fart. And she goes, go ahead. And I mean, right on it. I was like, fuck yeah, dude.
Wow. What a power. What a power.
In middle school?
Yeah, it's a superpower.
Superpower. I mean, I don't think I've ever smelled a fart that wasn't.
Yeah, dude.
What? Really? Never had shot a blank?
Yeah, those.
Not out of this ass. Not out of this ass.
Is there I also, I don't want to, I said this the other day, I go, I don't want to, if I get to a place where I find farts not funny, if I'm in an elevator and a fat kid lets one rip and I don't laugh and I go like, oh, dude, just
take me out.
Yeah. That's it. That's a wrap. There's certain things like that where I go, I don't know what that equates to, but I think it's just a not taking things too seriously type of mentality. Or, I mean, do you feel like you're pretty good at being like self-deprecating and like in real life? And like if you're in social functions and you need to, you can tell that things are pretty stale and you're like, I'm going to have to drive the ship on this circle of conversation, but you can also like, you know, that's what I do sometimes is like do the self-deprecating thing to kind of make people comfortable. It's what Brad Williams is brilliant at. He'll come into a room and make the little person joke right away so that people aren't, you know, just stocking up and about to unload on him uncomfortably.
Right. Yeah.
Which I've seen happen.
I tell my daughter all the time, I call myself a chooch or whatever, you know, it's jackass in Italian. But I'm always like, I let her know that I do dumb shit. You know, I
she
let
goofy?
Her know. Oh, my God. My daughter is so fucking funny, man. I don't want to tell this story because I don't know if Tom's told it yet, but there was something happened in one of Segura's shows.
Involving her?
In Baltimore, no, where apparently a fan pissed over the balcony on people below. And it was, he said, mayhem. I'm going to see him this weekend and get the full details. He's like, he's like, something happened. Text me at a show that's never happened. I was like, did someone die? He goes, no, but.
Worse.
Damn near. And I guess this dude was wasted, got up. And just started pissing all over the people below.
Oh, my God.
And I'm telling my daughter. I'm like, you want to hear something crazy, Stella?
She's how old?
7.
Great age to soak up comedy,
I've already
dude.
Showed her Tommy Boy. We watch comedy nonstop.
Family Guy?
She loves,
give her some edgy cartoons?
Not
a little too
yet.
Much.
She watches SpongeBob.
Great.
That's good enough.
Enough comedy in that.
Now.
Yeah. Tommy Boy's huge.
Tommy Boy, she watches with me. She's watched it a bunch now
she like
already.
It?
Yeah, loves it. I just showed her Dumb and Dumber. Couple weeks
favorite
ago.
Favorite movie of all time.
She's fucking dying laughing.
That's a great sign.
But she goes, I go, and the guy peed on people. And she goes, did anyone get it in their mouth? And I started laughing so fucking hard. I go, that's a great question.
That's the first, it's
and
the only
I'm
question.
I'm going to ask Tom. I'm gonna ask Tom.
By the way,
but I'm guessing they probably do.
Yeah, because they're probably laughing at the show.
And you're probably looking up when something hits you just naturally.
You hear a mist. No one's going like, no one's clothed. You're always like, huh? For whatever reason, you have your mouth open
and
when
if
you're
giving, oh my God, you're done. And it's over. And the guy apparently ran out and didn't get caught.
No way.
It's Baltimore, too. Like, he was long gone.
People were peeing indoors all the time and getting away with it.
I've never heard of anything like that before, man.
That's a level of drunk that I don't think I've ever been at, where I don't have enough social wherewithal to know that, like, A, don't take your dick out in public. B, don't start peeing. C, don't start peeing over a balcony.
With a full crowd.
With a full crowd.
Yeah.
Have you ever been shit on by a bird?
Oh, yeah. I was just telling her about that the other day, too. I've been shit on by a bird a few times. And she's like, do people say it's good luck? And I just told her, I go, that's because people make up shit to feel better when they get shit on by birds. Okay? It's not good.
Happy birthday.
You want to know what happened after that bird shit on me? Your grandfather died. Your great-grandmother died. Just start going through the list. Okay? So it ain't good luck. All right?
So always carry an umbrella so you can be fucking trouble-free. Oh, my God. Yeah, there is a – there's man, that age of seven, like asking
it's
if it got
awesome.
In the mouths
yeah.
is a great first question and also such a funny kid brain question.
Yeah.
Did you get pee in your mouth? Did you drink pee?
And she'll tell me stuff, too, like the boys said this today at school. And I go, what'd they say? She's like – I go, you can say. You won't get in trouble. She'll tell me whatever the cuss word was or whatever.
She said that – he said the Jews run the banks.
I was like, listen, right. he's right.
Yeah, yeah. But
– tell him not to say yeah. it. We got a handshake for that.
That's a recess conversation.
last night she got me really good. I was laughing so hard. She's got this book. It's a pigeon book or whatever, and it's second grade reading level her, and she's reading through. And then on the back, she's got these little characters. She's like, "Where's the owl with glasses?" I'm like, "Right here," because I had my glasses off and I couldn't see that well. She's like, "Where's this?" I'm like, "Right here." She goes, "Where is the little raccoon with the big eye?" And I'm looking for 5 fucking minutes. And I'm like, "Here." She's like, "Nope." And she's dying laughing. I go, "Is this like a trick? Are you trying?" She's like, "No." I go, "You're telling me it's on these 2 pages." And she's like, "Mm-hmm." And I get my glasses. I'm looking everywhere. Because we do these fucking spot it games and shit.
Love
you
it.
Know? And then finally she just goes, "It ain't there. You just got pranked." And I started, like, screamed it at me. Like, I started laughing so fucking hard. I was like, "You little fucking asshole."
Oh, my
God. I'm looking for 5 motherfucking minutes. It's 10:30. We're supposed to be going to bed, but my ego wouldn't let me do it. I was
of course.
Nah, I'm a fine. And then I started laughing. I was like, go to bed
if you want. I'll wake you up when I find it. Oh, my God, dude.
Do you want kids?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Right now, no. But I think do you need to know? Do you need to know full on, like?
Mm-mm. I don't think you need to know anything.
Yeah. I'm just
You're never going to be ready enough.
Right.
You're never going to have enough money. I'm say that because people say, well, I need to have more.
Yeah, there's no perfect time, right?
Well, also, like, shit, kids are expensive. There is no perfect time. But here's the other thing. You are a hustler. So once you do become a parent, you're just going to go. You'll hustle in just a different way.
I think that's what I need to get on board with, because I am worried that
you're a crazy hustler, dude. You're nonstop working.
And I'm worried that that's going to take a step. I've always been, even getting into a relationship and now about to get married, like that was even a big deal, because worrying about and being having to be accountable or check in with anyone other than me and not be on my own schedule, which I've still been able to maintain more or less. She's very supportive on that, but it has made me slow down in ways that I do appreciate, for sure. But I feel
we're
like
selfish.
I feel like I'd be all in on the kid thing so much that I keep hearing what you just said from people, where you're like, you just find.
Dude, I'm a single parent.
Yeah.
I have made it work the entire time.
Yeah,
I built my career every other. You don't need to be out every fucking weekend anyway. I go every other weekend when I don't have her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm home. I'm there for sporting events. I'm there for school. I'm there for camp drop-offs and pick up on perp, because you can be. You can create your own schedule and your own life.
What has it?
You just tell these people, nah. Oh, well, we can't afford to pay you that because we're a family business. Great. I'm a family business too, and I can't afford to work for that. So we're good.
Yeah.
You can just create your own schedule.
What has it done to you personally? What has it done?
Being a parent?
Yeah. Oh, and what has it done comedy-wise? Just give me, like, in each of those sects of your life, like, you know.
See, CTS.
SECTS, right. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. How's being a single dad help your sex life?
It's not as good as you think. So
life first and then comedy.
Right. So life, I mean, it's funny. All I ever wanted to be was a dad. You know, I had a great dad and I wanted to be a dad, but I also wanted to be the guy that was like, I'm going to wait for the right person. I want to make sure when I, you hear where this is going. I want to make sure when I do it, it's forever. I want it lasted a year, bro. So then I look back and I'm like, well, Jesus Christ, the way this played out, I could have just done this in my fucking 20s and been a young dad. You know what I mean? Like, these knees would have stood. My kid be in his teens now. I'd be good to go.
Be coaching basketball.
But it happens exactly how it's supposed to happen. It does. And it's made me, especially having a daughter, has made me, I really think, a better listener. It's made me realize how I'm not a great communicator the way you think you are. Like, I'll speak, and she'll be like, yeah, but you just said this. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, everything is fucking, you know, like, word for word. And you start realizing that, as I say all the time, as a man that makes my living using words, I don't always say the right fucking thing. You know, people see a polished hour that's taken me a lot of time to say the wrong shit. You don't get that in human conversation.
No.
You know, I'm like, let me come back in 6 months and let me tell you how I feel about that. And I'm doing 20 fucking damn, 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 like, goddamn, great point. I don't always drop them right there,
of course
you
not.
Know. So it's made me more patient. It's made me more sensitive. It's made me more scared. But it's also, I say all the time, I love my life. You know, we got the puppy. I got my daughter. Her brother's still very close with us.
Cool.
And then I get to go out and do stand up still. So it's definitely made me a better person. I mean, all around.
Then I would think that all those things you listed immediately they're synonymous with comedy, where it's like, oh, I got more sensitive, I got more scared. You're just adding
more
to the
vulnerable, you're adding more to the weak,
exactly.
You know, all of it, just
all
adding
the,
to all that you said, self deprecating it, all just add to the list.
Because you need, right, like, an emotional attachment to what you're talking about to be able to connect your shit to other people so that they can get on board with it. So if you are, you've added all these emotional weapons to your arsenal, like, that's just probably opening up other chapters of stuff to.
But then also you do shit that's humiliating, and you're a fucking real person with yourself. So you just, like, you know, some of those people like, nah, I'm never wrong. And everything. You're just like, man, that was
what? Oh yeah, dude.
As a dad move. So I was, my daughter goes, I picked her up after school a few weeks ago, and she goes, hey, can we go to one of the little neighborhood libraries? You know, those things some people have in the neighborhood. It's like a little put a book in, take a book out. It's at their, like, right by their mailbox. So I go, yeah, we pull up to this one. I go, I thought you wanted to go to the other one down the street. She goes, what other one? I go, you know, the one a few blocks over there. She goes, can we go to that one next? I go, nah, we got a good book. This should be a life lesson. Let's just be happy with what we got. We'll bounce. Can we please go over there? I go, fine. So we pull over to this thing. I park, and the curb's here on my right, on the passenger side. And there's this big-ass Santa Monica motherfucking tree with the roots that come up to about mid-shin, okay? But I'm parked right next to it. So I got this tree roots right up against the car, right? We go to look at the books. There's nothing there. I open the door like a gentleman for my daughter. She goes to jump in. The dog hops in. I go to I go to unleash the dog. And I go to take a step back, and I hit this motherfucking root. But I don't have time to turn around. I started tap dancing on that sidewalk looking for Flappy, dude. And then when I realized it, I just yelled. I went, Stella, I'm falling. And, I mean, I heard her go, Dad. And it trailed away because I went back so far. And at that moment, I was telling her, like, I got up. I fell hard as shit. Some ladies walking their dogs laughing, nothing. I get up, I'm laughing, I get in the car, I'm like, oh my God, Stella. And she's dying fucking laughing, and she imitates me now. She does a Stella, I'm falling. She does that shit.
Oh,
but
my God.
I told her, I go, here's the thing, you don't know. Like, at some point, I had to just give myself up to the gods. I didn't know if I was falling 40 fucking feet. I didn't know what I was going to hit. I just had to let it all happen, and I did, and it fucking crushed my back. It fucked my back up. And then we're flying nonstop, so now I got to go get, like, an epidural shot in the fucking thing again because it, like, it it pinched my nerve. And I had to sit on stage the other night. It's the first time I've ever sat on stage ever, because I couldn't stand longer than like 5 minutes at a time.
How was it? You're such a great storyteller. I feel like that would be.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know.
I enjoyed it.
You look at it, the guys that do it, you're like, fuck, they're onto something.
But I really like walking and moving. It helps me think. Movement helps me think.
Do you like walk around the neighborhood and stuff and write?
Yep, I hike and write too.
Wow.
Like I take my phone, I'll put it into the voice recorder and then go transcribe it later. Like I'm really, when I hike, I feel like an open channel a lot.
Mm. You feel like when you're doing that too, you're like less, just you're not on your phone, so you're just like a little freer, you're not distracted by it.
Yeah.
Do you write on stage when you do a little voice note into the phone? Is it just like a little idea and like I'll flush that on stage later? Or is it sometimes the whole bit right there?
I do both. Yeah. I literally the other night I was like, all right, I got this set at the Comedy Store. And what I've been doing is chunking out like bits of my hour and taking them into different rooms there and trying to, you know, keep them and work on them. Keep hammering them. And the other day I sat and wrote a lot of shit that I used and some I didn't. But I really do feel like the best stuff comes on stage naturally.
Yeah.
And then hopefully you recorded it or you remember it and you incorporate it.
Yeah. Got to listen back. I'm not good about doing it every time, but sometimes if something really sticks out, I feel like I got a pretty good memory to remember it. But then even like today, a few things from last night, I was like, I added like just a couple things here and there.
Move this here. I did this first this time.
Oh, yeah.
I remember all that shit.
Like my nephew is 7 and he headbutts the fridge a lot and dry humps the couch to make me laugh. And I go, I can't wait to do, I just riff this. I go, I can't wait to do drugs. I was talking about smoking weed. I go, I can't wait to smoke pot with my nephew. I go, he's 7. And I get to laugh. I go, but something about the way headbutt fridges and dry humps couch says drugs in 10 years.
10 years.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where he just is like, has such a zest for life, but also like, he just seems like he'd be fun to get high with. All right. We're going to close this out with something, a little way to get Ryan Sickler, to get to know Ryan Sickler a little bit better.
Can I ask you something really quick?
Please.
This blonde character that you've been doing.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, thanks.
Who is it and why are you doing it and what is the inspiration for this person?
Why am I doing it? Is
it something you're working on that we'll see later?
Yeah, it's for something else.
Okay.
And so anytime I get into, you know, a full prosthetic for something, like that's why when I've done the Dr. Phil stand-up things, it's like if I get into a full thing for that, you know, it takes 3-4 hours, then I want to just maximize content with it.
Dude, I'm the same way. Yeah. I shot this promo in this white jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm wearing it on Segura's private jet the next day. And
that was an amazing picture.
And I took that picture. So the promo that I shot before that's about to come out, just
brilliant,
promoting June shows where I'm just walking
brilliant
with the fucking dog. You
yeah,
know?
Brilliant. You
got to maximize.
You have to. Yeah. And so that's why I was just like, let me see if I can get up on the store.
What's his name?
Bruce Robbins. Just a real estate guy from Dallas. You know, my wife, Kendra, only cheats on me when she's out of town. But so we have it worked out. We have an agreement, you know. It surprises me even to this day that I'm actually doing stand-up, because forever I just wanted to do characters all the time. I just felt more comfy. And it was before I actually had a point of view or a voice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but it was, I was more comfy with like, I was, even when I first got past at the store, I was doing characters. I'd bring these, if it was late night and Jeff Scott, RIP, was there, and I'd put on I had a wig and a hat that I used from a sketch and like a long, and a guitar, and I would pretend to be this like old lounge singer. And I would go, if the crowd was like 30 people and I was up at 12:45, I was like, I'm going to just do that tonight and riff. And that was sometimes more fun, but it was only because I hadn't yet found who I was on stage. Because that seemed less fun, but I just didn't have I don't know why I was talking about what I was talking about. You know, I just didn't have a take on anything. But I've done that. In preschool, man, I used to, there was a big, you know, case of like hats and coats and all that shit. And I was like one of two kids that would be like, I'm a fucking, I'm a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah,
bro. You know, like
it.
Just play pretend. All right, I'm going to play James Lipton, R.I.P. James Lipton,
okay.
Inside the Actor's Studio. We're going to do the 10-question questionnaire that Lipton did with Ryan Sickler. With Ryan Sickler.
Is this the actual 10 he did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Ryan, what is your favorite word?
It's so funny. I know these questions, too. I would have to just say fuck. It's so universal and so, you know,
use it.
Usable.
What's your favorite way to use it? Angry or excited?
Like the fuck angry.
Like what the fuck? Stop tapping on my TV seat. What is your least favorite word?
Genius.
What turns you on?
Great ass.
What turns you off?
Terrible ass. No, let me give you another one.
You can give a non-sexual answer.
I will give you a non-sexual answer. It is people who can dish and can't take.
Oof.
I fucking hate that.
It's one of my biggest pet peeves in life. Too,
you're going to sit over there and bust balls and talk shit. Now it's our turn to give it back. You're going to take your ball home. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
I hate it.
It takes a special type of person to think that it's a one-way street.
Yeah.
Nah, man. You know who you are.
Yeah, you fucking know who the fuck you are.
What is your favorite curse word? All right, so fuck was it. So how about what is your favorite word? What is your favorite word? Now we know your curse word.
My favorite word, I would have to say, shit, it's tough. I would say believe.
Hmm. Okay. What sound or noise do you love?
My daughter's laughing.
Amazing. What sound or noise do you hate?
It's easy to say my daughter crying, so I'm not going to say that. Let me say... What sound do I hate? It's a sound. Anyone saying I can't.
Nice. You know, it was my high school yearbook quote. I try to make a joke and also be like inspiring. I'm a fucking loser. I put, thanks, Mom, and I named some friends. And then I put, there's three words I hate. Can't, couldn't, and vanilla ice. Good. Hey, where were you fucking 20 years ago,
it's
man?
It's there forever, man.
It's there forever. I remember people reading it being like, all right.
I don't think mine was great at all. I don't even remember what it was.
Remember, right? What a funny thing they make you put down.
They
don't
care. You know
it's like
your
last thing.
My dad died. Everybody's dead. We don't have parents. Thanks for fucking looking out for us, counselors. I hope to be alive in 5 years. All right. That's my fucking goal.
Go Orioles.
They were good, though.
Oh, shit. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Musician. I'd like to be a drummer. I would love to figure out how to get all this nervous energy out in an artistic way other than humor.
What type of band? Like Rock Hootie band. Or My Chemical Romance?
Hootie. It won't be Hootie, bro. I don't see me smiling the whole time. I don't see that kind of band. Like I'm in the Monkees or something.
Nonstop smiling. Those guys were living on cloud 10.
Yeah, they were.
Wild
pussy.
What profession would you not like to do?
These days, I would not like to be a police officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
No, military, they're a special breed. Like, I'm not.
Tricky.
Well, I'm not lining up to go get fucking shot at for somebody else's fucking beliefs.
Yeah.
Those people are like, I risked my life so you could believe that. I'm like, that poor bastard did. He did. Yeah. I'm not that guy.
Because I'm good.
No. You think I'm going to go fight for the CTAP guy? Nah, bro. I'm going to watch you get killed. I'm going to help.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Man, it's so funny. All right, let's see. I mean, I'd be happy to hear you did good, you know. But I would love to hear him say, I fucking love the podcast, bro. You made me laugh out loud. I'd like to make God laugh out loud.
Yeah, dude, right?
That's what I would love. Actually, you know what? I wouldn't want to hear him say anything. If I'm going to hear something, I wouldn't want to hear God laugh.
What if he did your laugh back to you?
Oh,
and it was just like,
I'd be like, bro, send me back, man.
I got the ring done.
You on Android, guy? You're on Android.
That's what happens. He goes, I got the ringtone. And then you go, wow, dude. And then you just look down at the phone and you go, Android. Yeah. That's amazing. You're the best.
Thank you for having me on, for real.
RyanSickler.com for all your tour dates.
Yes.
At Ryan Sickler.
On tour.
All
Ryan
socials.
Sickler on all social.
Subscribe to Honeydew if you're not already.
Please.
And Honeydew with y'all on Patreon. And we'll do
check out Adam's episodes for sure. You got to come back.
I've created an outline, which I told you I would, and at some point you'll be a producer on this because I'm going to make this probably after the wedding and I settle down and I can, you know, jump in on something like this. But that episode, my second to last one of the Honeydew, is where I basically, Sickler hit me up and was like, I saw this picture of you with your dad in the hospital, FaceTiming your mom. What's that about? And it ended up turning into this.
Such a beautifully written thing.
Looking
too, yeah.
back at my mom's dating history, three dudes after my dad, which I'd never explored. And it's a blueprint for a movie that, and I figured out where I was like, I think I want to play in full prosthetic each of the boyfriends maybe in the movie. And then it's kind of, and then you just see it through my eyes as a kid seeing post. It's just a slice of life movie where it's like that time, because it is so like, you know, it was so important as far as like my growth as a, I don't know, comic or whatever.
Well, forming you as a person, yeah. a comic, all yeah. of it. You don't realize it until you look back on yeah. all of it. I'll never forget, I read this interview with Jamie Foxx where he said that his grandmother used to make him play piano every day after class or school before he could do anything. And he was like, and he hated it. And then he fucking wins an Oscar for Ray, and he said, it dawned on me that the whole fucking reason I ever had to do that was for this right here.
Wow.
You know, so I do think if you have a healthy outlook on the traumatic shit, you can really make yourself a good person.
1,000%.
Yeah.
You're the best. You're a beast. You're
Thank you,
truly
brother.
One of the best. And if you got a helicopter and you want Ryan to join you as a plus one, I'd say just fucking just delete that text right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, delete it.
All right. Good night, everybody.